Welcome to the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of the world's best resource for hockey strength and conditioning information. HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 72 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. My name is Brian Sibbitz. Thank you for joining me. Before we get on the phone with Coach Mike Potenza of the San Jose Sharks, if you haven't visited HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com recently, head over there, check it out. We've got a ton of great new content, and you may be backlogged on some podcast episodes. We put them out pretty quick there before the clinic in Colorado Springs. So we're going to be talking to Coach Potenza today about his upcoming clinic, about blood work and blood markers. So super interesting stuff. So let's go ahead and get on the phone with Coach Potenza. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining me for episode 72 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. This is Brian Sipitz. Hey, I'm excited today to have Mike Potenza on the show for maybe the second or third time. I know we've had a chance to talk a couple of times, but Mike just finished up his 12th year with the San Jose Sharks and reached out to me about a series of seminars that he has coming up. And I think this is stuff that is definitely on the forefront, and it's definitely things that we should know about. So I wanted to get Mike on to shed some light on that and talk a little bit about those seminars. So, Mike, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
No problem. So I'm really excited to hear about this. It's something, like I mentioned to you, it's something that's above my pay grade at this point. But it's definitely, obviously it's worth exploring, and this is something you've sort of been around for a long time. And so you joined up with James Laval, and your company, Optimizing Human Performance, is doing a set of seminars, one in San Jose, one in Woburn at Boyle's Place. So talk a little bit about how this came about, your partnership with James, and mm-hmm. then we'll talk about what the seminars are going to be about.
Sure. I learned about James's work through a good friend of mine, Jim Schneider, at the University of Wisconsin, and bought both of his books. And that was around the time when we've been doing blood work with our team for a long time, every preseason. And I only knew what some labs meant just because that's a basic panel that your doctor gives you. And over the years, you get checkups and you go through them. But as it related to performance, I wanted to know why certain markers were where they were. James's book, the first one I bought, The Blood Never Lies, was awesome in the fact that it told me what each marker meant. It told me the effects on performance, or it explains those the different areas, and it goes into great detail on supplementation. And, if you're considering magnesium, like, because you can't sleep, then how much does an athlete need to take? How much does a 20-year-old need to take? How much does a 50-year-old need to take, and why they need to take it? And just the balancing act and the symphony that kind of has to be played between all of your biomarkers and different processes, maybe hormonally, maybe neurocognitively. So that's how I just kept on going down this rabbit hole. And for our guys, as we all know, for any athlete who's competing at a high level or training at a high level and adding stress to their bodies, they have to find a way to recharge the engine, recover properly, but also obviously fueling is key. But sometimes I didn't know how much I didn't know about giving a guy a diet, having different things affect him in a negative way, because we've gone down the route of using a food panel to look at food aversions and different things and intolerances. And the aha moment for me was when a bunch of guys had an aversion to whey protein, and that would explain why they were having some kind of GI distress after we would give them whey protein after a workout. And we switched to a plant-based source for that time, and they felt a lot better. Body composition got better. Inflammation went down, and dealing with extra body fat was easier. So that's kind of how long story even longer, I reached out to James because I knew that another hockey team in the league was using him, or consulted with him for a brief period of time. I introduced myself to James. He was very welcoming, tremendous guy. And then I invited him to speak at the NHL strength coaches meetings, 2 years in a row. And I kind of threw it out there. I was like, James, do you want to do a 2-day seminar on all of this work? I can host you in San Jose. It's a little bit easy for me to get a venue and whatnot, obviously having been here for so long. and having partnerships with the team and organization. So we did it. This is the second year. Last year was great, 17 people. This year we're hoping to get 25 for that event. It's 2 days, but it's James's specific work, how he divides biological processes up into triads and how each triad affects each other. So brain and gut are in the same triad because what you eat and absorb is going to affect you neurocognitively, right? The stomach is the second brain, as they say. There's just different liver and pancreas because of their immunity and cleansing nature of their organs. They depend on each other and need different nutrients, right? Pituitary function has a lot to do with hormonal balance, whether it be estrogen or testosterone. So he goes into those quite extensively, and that is his secret sauce on what he's come to learn and basically how he puts things together in his blood work evaluation. So it's exciting. It's exciting to hear about what he thinks about the ketogenic diet, what he thinks about nutrients post-injury, and how to fuel and what to support any ligamentous type injuries or bone type injuries or surgeries that have to that go into it. And then the Woburn seminar, it pivots a little bit. It includes James' work, but he's talking more about if you're going for a certain adaptation for strength, power, speed, conditioning, aerobic or anaerobic, then you have to be aware of this. You know, these are the nutrients that are going to support those types of adaptations and why, and the timing and the workloads and consistent workloads, right? If you're grinding the axe all year, you're going to have some interesting changes in your blood profile, but also maybe even in bone density, right? So even in gut health. So he goes into that. I go into program design and considerations for a reconditioning program. And then Kevin Neild goes into collection of data, interpretation of that data, and using assessment to drive your program design to make sure that you're not, you know, adding a house on a bad foundation, if you will, with a guy who has a restriction and you just don't program for it. That would be, you know, suicide in a sense, right, when you're dealing with your athlete. And then Kevin ends the day off with recovery modalities and what the research is out there and what's the most effective and should we be using recovery modalities at different times when we're going for a different when maybe we're shooting for a different training theme, right, or training block, something like that. So
nice.
Yeah.
Well, just to, you know, really quickly, just to touch on Kevin's presentation out in Colorado Springs last week. He did an awesome job kind of talking about what you guys are doing with assessments. I think, you know, we talked a little bit on the podcast before the clinic, so we covered that. But he did an excellent job at that, and it's great to see that you guys are implementing so much of that stuff. I do want to get back to the blood profiling, though, because I think it's something that's I don't know, maybe a step farther than a lot of people are going. Yeah. But I think it's such an obvious thing, I guess, and mm-hmm. relatively easy. I mean, you have to bring people in to do the blood testing, and it is right. potentially expensive. I don't know. You could talk about that, but
you can.
But you how do you go about that? How do you go about testing the guys?
Well, for sure, it goes. You can go down the rabbit hole of it being expensive. There's no doubt about it. There's a lot of companies now coming out between Inside Tracker and Blueprint for Athlete, which is a division of Quest Diagnostics, and even Thorne, I believe, has a home blood biomarker kit that you can bring home and test, which I think are great options. They're definitely more cost effective. For us, we take the approach where we have to loop in our doctors, right? Because they're obviously they're critical to our whole performance plan. They're embedded into the fabric of what we're doing on a day-to-day basis. So we embed them, and they're doing the draw. And we have a naturopathic physician that I work closely with, and make it an option for the guys if they want to go to a more extensive hormonal panel, blood food intolerance profile, and then a micronutrient panel. And once we go through that, then we have a much more vast menu of biomarkers that we've taken to see if there's any issues. The general panel we do at the beginning of the year with our team doctors, it's just a general panel. How's your cholesterol? How are your kidneys functioning? there's testosterone included in there, vitamin D, inflammation marker, high sensitivity CRP, and then those will at least give us an idea of, okay, where are guys coming in at? But then we do the more extensive panel with our naturopath who's local. James also has a service called the Metabolic Code, which he will take your blood and do a 60-page report on how everything is in balance. So that's a great, obviously, option, and he'll talk more about that, and he goes into that in his book and online at his website. But we're using it to make sure that we know where guys are deficient and if guys have any issues with food, because I have to plan all of our meals with our caterer and then with our flight services group for when we travel, and with our hockey operations director who basically orders all the food at the hotels we stay at, right? So and then I work with the catering company at our arena, SAP Arena in San Jose, for a post-game meal. So you can see where if we know some food intolerances and issues with guys, then we can start to be more detailed on what we're serving them, because we're providing a lot from a food standpoint for our group, right? And then from a supplementation standpoint, as you can see behind me, we have a shelf of a lot of different things, right? And it's actually not a lot of different things. It's just a lot of different bottles, right, and flavors. But with that, we give once we know that a guy is deficient, and we're doing blood work 3 to 4 times a year. So once we know they're deficient in something, we'll make sure that they're listed on a chart with their dosage and prescription, if you will, of supplements and vitamins for that day. So they know exactly what they need to take. Now, it's clear that the blood that we're doing is just a snapshot for that day or that week. It could change very quickly. However, we can't blood test every day, and getting 3 times in a year, 4 times in a year is I think it's pretty good, So it's like we're going maybe every 2 months in our season. So we're not missing the mark, but we're also making sure that we circle back just to make sure if they're meeting that deficiency, if you will. That's the realistic application for us, is to do it every 2 months, if you will. Yeah. So, or 3 to 4 times a year, whatever the schedule allows.
It'd be interesting to see, and I know the whole point of testing in the beginning is to, have some kind of intervention and make sure that they're getting what they need. But it would be really interesting. I don't know if this has ever been a thing where you test 3 times throughout the year, but there's no intervention, just to see what actually happens to those blood markers as the season goes along. Do you have anything, any info on that?
No, I we haven't looked at what were we, have we seen guys totally fall off towards the end of the year? I have to do that comparison now that we have 3 years of data so now I think we have enough data points. Maybe with the completion of this year, we can probably start to look at that. I will tell you, when we've considered IV therapy for guys who we know at the end of the year can be a grind and immunity is really compromised with how much you're traveling, the blood work and profile that we'll do with our naturopath allows us to know what nutrients they're allowed to take in. Some people can't take in a high dosage of vitamin C. Some can. So when we know that, we can make the bag fit the profile, if you will, right? Some guys, it'll come up where some guys don't need as much omega-3, maybe. Maybe they're utilizing fats properly. So it's not just like the blanket, okay, just take this, every single day. Let's be wise about at least the dosage, right? So it helps us with that when guys go out and want to have an IV bag for recovery at the end of the year. But it also, we do have to look at, our next step is to definitely look at how at the end of the year, if guys tail off, Haven't had any major issues, at least that have come across us,
Do you see from test number 1 to test number 2, especially with new guys, do you see big changes, big differences?
Yeah. Initially, vitamin D has been, I think it's common in pretty much any high-functioning athlete, but vitamin D has been low, and we've seen a change in that. Guys who don't manage cortisol really well and have a low testosterone as a result, we've seen a lot of low numbers there, which is surprising. But it's really not surprising when you combine guys who don't really sleep well day after a game, and then you multiply those days by 12 in the course of a month, maybe 14 when we have a high volume of games. So we have to manage that testosterone well when we know we're not going to sleep and we know we're traveling in the wee hours of the morning. And basically from our recovery questionnaire that we do daily on the practice day, we know guys don't sleep a lot after the game because they have to wind down, and then all of a sudden the next morning they have to get up with a short amount of sleep and practice. So that's become really interesting, and that's where we can really see the need and effect of looking at vitamin D and how it relates to testosterone and what other things we can do to manage cortisol to help testosterone elevate, right?
Yeah, it's definitely obviously it's something that I would say is like NHL caliber. I guess my and for the people listening to this podcast, I know we have people at all different levels. Is there a place to start with this? Is there like a starter kit, if you will? Like
there is Blueprint. I think Blueprint does a really good job of, they can look at a general panel for you. Blueprint for Athletes. Inside Tracker is another group that they have a limited amount of markers that they look at. But both companies have an awesome platform and display of where your markers are in relation to an athletic population and what the marker means and how to provide a nutritional intervention on it. I think Inside Tracker does a great job of that. Like if you're deficient in vitamin D, what foods can you eat to increase it? So it just doesn't go straight to supplementation ideas. It goes to what foods you can support that change with. The other thing too is, which I don't think it's very expensive, is you could look into a Dunwoody food panel, or Meridian Valley Labs has a food panel, and they can look at food intolerances, things that stick out that are way off the charts that maybe you should consider taking onto your diet. I know personally, and a couple family members have done that and taken a lot of the dairy out that they've had a food intolerance to, and got it to a manageable level and feel amazing, you know. And it's funny to think that not all food's bad, obviously, but at the same time, some foods are now manufactured in a way that are going to kick up high amounts of inflammation, and just your body spends more time in fighting that off than the energy you really want to direct to activity, to work, to hanging around and running around with your kids and just different things like that.
Yeah. So it's something that, you know, really any professional could recommend to, you know, let's say, I think it would be appropriate for college level athletes. You know, then we get into a little bit of a question as who would this be appropriate for? Because it's overall health, really. It's not just performance.
You're absolutely right. It is health first, and then it's performance after. I mean, if I were to recommend, obviously we're in a certain situation where we have the ability to utilize a doctor, but at the same time, I think those two companies do a good job of, you can get an affordable panel to look at some of those markers. Now, the interpretation of what those markers are is going to be key too. College athletes should probably discuss it with their sports medicine director, you know, to say, hey, I'm interested in looking at this. You know, is there a better way? Can you help me look at the results? They should be able to sit down with them and discuss those types of things. So, but you're right. It's definitely, it can be done at the lower levels, or weekend warriors, or guys in minor leagues, or, you know, a kid who's a senior in college and wants to prep for a training camp, if you will, you know, or someone right off the street, you know, like a weekend warrior, whoever. Like.
Yeah. So you mentioned a little bit about this earlier, the clinic in San Jose. When is that? And talk about just sort of the bullet points of the day.
Yeah. Clinic in San Jose is the end of the month here, actually. So it's coming up pretty quick. It's the 29th and 30th of June. It's a Friday and a Saturday. Bullet points that Jim is going to go over. He's going to go over dosages of nutrients that are key to performance. So we talk about vitamin D, we talk about creatine, we talk about ribose, we talk about everything that's out there, arginine, citrulline, anything that's out there that's a buzz right now, James goes into. He goes into some herbal supplementation too that can support hormonal improvements, it can support controlling cortisol, it can support sleep, things like that, safe things. So That's one section. He's going to go over glucose monitoring, blood glucose monitoring, and what that really means. You know, you may be someone who has it has you don't look like you have an effect where you're managing glucose poorly, but some people may. So he goes over that and how to use that and how to do it in an effective, easy way with the blood glucose monitor you can get at Walgreens or CVS. He'll go over he's offering three panels for free to analyze people's blood to use as examples to teach from within the course. And then he'll go over his triads, his metabolic triads from his book, The Metabolic Code. And we're bringing in Dr. William Seeds. We'll talk about peptide therapy and considerations for new surgical considerations for rehab. So there's different methods that they're doing now for MCL repair that he's going to discuss. You should consider this coming out of this type of shoulder repair, ankle repair, knee repair. Generally, it's basically restriction and range of motion that you have to work through more. Rather than just speed the guy back to a return to play program, so which is very interesting. So that changes my whole look onto what we need to do prior to getting that player back. So that's kind of the rundown of the 2 days that are going to be split. And there's more information on the topics and the schedule online. So
yeah, where do we find the information for that? And if we want to head out, where's the registration?
And the Woburn course is July 14th. That's a Saturday, and it's right outside of Boston at Mike Boyle's facility in Woburn. You can find both information on both courses at optimizinghumanperformance.com. That's kind of our main site for all the seminars we're going to be developing and offering.
Okay, cool. Well, this is super cool stuff, and I think if anything, the action steps. If you're listening and want to know more about this, you can check out optimizinghumanperformance.com and maybe even shoot Mike an email if he's up for it and ask questions about that. But I think, for those who are thinking of kind of dipping your toe into this, it sounds like there are some simple ways to collect the information and simple things that you can do. Even if you have somebody that you might suspect has a food allergy or is running low on some sort of nutrient. This seems like a pretty simple way to start it. It might be one of the last things you do, but it's still a pretty simple step. So professionals, I think at any level, well, I'll take that back. If you're a professional, this obviously you don't want to go around blood testing everyone that you come in contact with especially in the private setting, that kind of stuff. But I think it's something that's definitely within reach of a lot of people and could be sort of a last measure to see what's really going on with your athletes.
Yeah. Awesome.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Mike. And, anybody has any questions, again, check out optimizinghumanperformance.com and all the info is there for you.
You can reach out to me, mpotenza@sjsharks.com. So.
Okay. Easy.
Great. Thanks
a lot,
Brad.
Mike. All right, guys, that's going to do it for episode 72 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. As I go back through and listen to that, I think, I want to clarify something. I think as you think about this more, it seems like using blood markers and using blood tests is sort of a last-ditch effort, and I think this could be somewhat controversial. But when you really look at it, you're really looking at health and performance. I'm seeing it more and more. The more I think about this, I guess this is a thought that I didn't fully put together in a conversation with Mike, but when you think about this more, really it's something that seems like it should come as a last effort, but maybe this is something that should be done with everybody, with the right populations. It's definitely a judgment call, and there's definitely some barriers, but it sounds like with the at-home tests and things like that, it's definitely something that can be left up to the discretion of your clients or of your athletes. The amount of information that we can learn from this seems to outweigh the small finger prick and the mailing of the test. So to me, it's definitely given me a second thought in terms of testing our athletes, the you know, at least the college age athletes, to make sure that we're getting the most out of it for them. And it's not only a training benefit, it's a health benefit as well. So at first, this seemed like sort of something that would be on the extreme side, but the more you look at it, the more you're looking at dialing in health just as much as performance. So I'm getting closer and closer to trying some of this stuff with our athletes. So that's going to be a judgment call for you. I just think it's an interesting conversation, and maybe one that's going to continue to play out among professionals as we go forward here. So just thought I'd share that with you. I wanted to make sure I completed my thought from the middle of the episode there. Anyway, thank you for joining us today. My name is Brian Sippets. Until next time, guys, be sure to train smart and check out HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, the world's greatest resource for training hockey players. We'll talk to you soon.